Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
And we are back. This is another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and joining me as always is Mr. Matt Caraccio. Matt, welcome.
Paul, I cannot wait. After talking about the wide receivers, now we're moving on to one of our favorite positions probably in the entire league, and that's the running back position.
Yeah, I mean, the last two draft classes, we've seen some special running back talents. So it's fun to watch this upcoming next wave of running backs to kind of see if there's anybody, you know, who kind of fits the bill, looks as good as what we've seen in these last two draft classes. So let's get right into it. First guy on the docket tonight is a guy who I know we are both fans of. It's Rodney Anderson out of Oklahoma. He's a redshirt junior. He's 6'1", 218. He kind of exploded onto the scene last year. Rushed for just under 1,000 yards at 960 with 11 touchdowns. Also impacted the game in receiving as well with 16 catches for 283 yards and 5 touchdowns. I came away really impressed with Rodney Anderson. Oklahoma was obviously a team we watched a lot on TV last year, you know, watching Baker Mayfield. And I don't think I really appreciated watching Rodney Anderson live last year as much as I did when I went back and did the film analysis on him, you know, this past last couple weeks or so. The things that I love about him, his frame, his athleticism, his footwork. I thought he has really excellent play strength. His ability to make cuts, maintain speed. You know, he's got that ideal size and frame for the NFL. I think he could handle a heavy workload. He shows the athleticism with good acceleration, good quickness, good agility, you know, good burst. His rushing ability, what I saw, quick feet, you know, the ability to show elusiveness in the open field to make people miss, excellent play strength and contact balance. And the ability to run with physicality, but also finishing power to consistently break tackles and pick up extra yards. Yards through contact or yards after contact is what I saw a lot out of Anderson when I watched him. I thought he's really good with a good one cut and get upfield. Decisiveness as a runner as well. And he's got that receiving ability I've already said. I think he's a solid route runner, effective on screens and checkdowns. You know, shows good hands catchable away from his body. I think he's a starting running back with the potential to play on all three downs. I think he could run in a variety of different schemes. I think he's an early day two prospect with the ability to be one of the first running backs taken in the 2019 NFL draft. Matt, what were your thoughts on Anderson that may be a little bit different than mine, or maybe how you saw him as well?
I think you really hit on a lot of the key points. I think I see him early, as an early day two pick as well. I mean, if we're talking about scheme and where he fits in the NFL, I think that he's probably best suited for his own scheme from what I saw. I think that has a lot to do with where I saw him as a runner. I think his deception and his adaptability were really on display. I think he's very adaptable on outside zone plays and running at the second level. He knows how to exploit what is that kind of like that spatial time kind of paradigm that's going on throughout any running play, meaning I think he understands how to see that available space is available time and use that to his advantage. He does that to set up blocks. He actually uses that to assess pursuit angles, and he uses various pressure cuts to essentially soften and kind of mitigate the different types of forces that are coming at him as tacklers. I mean, you spoke about it earlier, Paul. You said, you know, he's a guy that understands how to break tackles, or he's a guy who can break tackles. And again, this goes back to something that, you know, is kind of a byproduct of what we had talked about when it came to skill acquisition this year. You know, I don't necessarily think, you know, that power is essentially the entire story. I think that in our world of evaluation, we've kind of oversimplified the world of, you know, being able to handle collisions as being something that's identifiable as a physical capacity, when in reality, I think there's a lot of perceptive things that are going on from the running back perspective. I think he has to be very attuned and very understanding of what type of pressure he's feeling when he's in a collision. I think he has to be able to reshape a tackle. And this is something that is really a hallmark of some of the work that Richie Gray, Andy Ryland, and Vincent DiGaetano are doing when it comes to tackling. This idea that collisions are things that are living and breathing entities, and players that are very attuned to handling collisions can reshape their body dynamically in the moment and really exploit kind of the type of pressure and the type of attack that the defender is doing to them. So sometimes you'll see a player ride what we call the force, which means that they understand what type of force is coming and they'll use it to their advantage to propel them through a particular scenario. Other times they have to meet that force and break tackles. And I think Rodney Anderson can do a little bit of all of that, which is why I gave him a very good contact fidelity rating, and why I think that his ability to, again, adapt and handle and deceive players is really one of the best in the class. And Paul, I mean, I know we haven't talked about the class in general, but I do think that this class is good. I just don't know if we're seeing, I don't know if we're going to see the same level or thoughts as we saw from previous years. I mean, I see him as a potential three down back, but I can also see him sliding in as a lead back as well. Do you think I'm being a little presumptuous here? I know we haven't gotten into a lot of players, but do you see that as a token of this class, or do you think this class could be just as good as last year's?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as good as the previous 2 years. I don't think we have, you know, the last couple of years, you know, we had Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey and, you know, Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon were top 20 type talents that fell in the second round for a variety of issues, most of them off the field stuff. And then this past year, obviously, you know, we had, you know, Saquon Barkley at the top. We had Rashard Penny as a surprise first round pick. We had Sony Michel. We had Darius Geis fall a little bit, and all those running backs in round two. I don't think we have the top end talent, but I do think a guy like Rodney Anderson, I think he can, in every way, shape, or form, kind of fits in with the Ronald Joneses, the Rashard Pennies, the Kerryon Johnson types. I think he's very much on that level. So while he might not be on a Saquon Barkley, you know, Darius Geis level, or the guys from the previous year, because obviously we were big fans of Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, you know, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, we all thought they were, you know, viable top 20 picks in that draft. I'm not sure Rodney Anderson or anybody in this class is on that level, the Dalvin Cook, you know, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley level, Darius Geis, you know, what we thought of him as a prospect. But I do think there's a couple guys who were very much in the vein of the next tier of guys that just came out. You know, I think guys who we thought of Sony Michel, I think Sony Michel, Kerryon Johnson, Nick Chubb, you know, that range of guys, I do think there's some guys that could be on that level from this draft class.
No, and I agree with you. And I think that's exactly how I'm perceiving this class. I look at them through that lens, and that lens, which is like kind of this lens that we're trying to adapt here this year, which is skill acquisition and looking at the level of skill that the players bring. I think you're right. I think when we're talking about the Saquon Barkleys and the Darius Geises of the world, and Dalvin Cooks and the Leonard Fournettes and the Joe Mixons, I think those are, I don't want to say a tier by themselves, but I think that we're more on the periphery, if that's fair, of those types of players than we are kind of right in the middle of it. I don't see Rodney Anderson in the same vein as I do Saquon Barkley. I don't see him anywhere near as good as Darius Geis. Does that mean that he's a bad back? No, I just think that he's a player that I would feel more comfortable saying, yeah, he's going to go to a team and he's probably going to get the bulk of the reps playing for that team. Definitely at a two down role at a bare minimum, he could be a three down role though, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, and what we have to realize now is even guys that we say are capable of three down players, it still doesn't mean that they're going to be bell cow running backs, because everybody's got committees now. Like, there are so few teams, you know, besides the Rams with Gurley, the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott, the Cardinals with David Johnson, you know, the Steelers with Le'Veon Bell, and maybe this upcoming year, you know, the Giants with Saquon Barkley and a few other instances. Everybody's got committees. Dalvin Cook's a three down player, right? But he's probably not going to play all three downs. He's still going to be in a somewhat committee that maybe it'll be 70% him and 30% Latavius Murray. You know, and same thing with, you know, Melvin Gordon. They, you know, want to make sure to keep him fresh, so they're probably going to use Austin Eckler at times. It doesn't mean Melvin Gordon's not a three down player. Doesn't mean he can't play on third downs, but everybody's committees. So I think you're right. I do see, you know, Anderson is a guy who's probably not going to ever amount to one of those guys that we're talking about as workhorse guys that literally get like 80, 90% of the touches every single week, you know, throughout the whole season if they stay healthy. But I do think Anderson has the skill set that we keep going back to be an effective three down player if he's asked to play on third downs. I think he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think pass protection is one of the things I think he's got to shore up a little bit. He wasn't really asked to do it too much at Oklahoma. So I do think sometimes when we say three down player, it doesn't necessarily mean that we believe he's going to be a true workhorse back, because those are so few and far between. You know, those guys, you know, are a special breed, and we don't even really see them too often in the NFL anymore. You know, the way I took at it as three down potential is a guy who could play on all three downs because he has the receiving capability in addition to the, you know, the rushing ability to run between the tackles, to be an early down runner, but then also be effective in the passing game, you know, so we can play on third down. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to, you know, take it, come into the league and all of a sudden be that workhorse back, because I think so few, I think that's almost like, you know, I think that's so few and far between in the NFL, the way, you know, offensive schemes and coaches, you know, are trying to maximize the skill sets of all their players. So there might be someone else better on the roster, you know, for a unique skill set, whether it's short yardage or whether it's, you know, pass protection or whether it's receiving out of the backfield. So that, I think that's where sometimes, you know, people hear that word three down back and sometimes automatically assume that we might think that it's a guy who's going to be a 25 touch player a game. And I'm not sure that they go hand in hand.
No, and I agree with you. And that's why I think moving on to the next player, I think we kind of get to that world that we're kind of talking about. And that's Demarye Crockett, number 16. He's from Missouri. He's a junior. He's 5'10". He's 225 pounds. And last year in only six games, he had tallied 481 yards, good for 6 yards per carry and 2 touchdowns. And he had 4 receptions for 35 yards and a touchdown as well. You know, his strengths to me, Paul, and again, things that I saw off the top of my head were I saw good contact fidelity. I think he really is a player, as we talked about, really kind of, again, living in the world of collisions, which is part of, I think, the requisite skill set of a running back, is being able to handle collisions and not just handle them and survive them, like I think some of our vernacular kind of points to. I think this is a player who knows how to exist and flourish in collisions. He has good contact fidelity. He's good on interior runs. I think some of his weaknesses, I think there's some ball security issues. I'd like to see him hold on to the ball a little bit better. And, you know, receptions overall, you know, he had some limited receptions. I think for him to take the next step in terms of being that player that we talk about getting the lion's share of the touches, he's going to have to kind of pick it up in the receiving game. You know, some things that I saw in his exposures, you know, I saw a lot of power runs, ISO runs, off tackle runs, you know, and from the different types of guns and fullback positions, wildcat positions, things that he did in terms of, you know, overall rushing ability. Like I said, his strength really was on interior runs, and he used his initial track well to influence second level defenders. I think he showed good play speed through the line of scrimmage. I thought he showed solid to good burst through the hole, and he displayed intent and confidence as he attacked the second level. I thought he was a little bit below average when making multiple pressure cuts at speed. I don't think that was his kind of forte. I don't think making multiple pressure cuts in tight spaces was really his kind of calling card. But I thought he at least did it adequately enough to live in the world of interior runs. I think at the second level, I think this is where you really see something that he is not comfortable with. I didn't see a lot of elusiveness at the second level. I didn't see a lot of agility in the open space. I saw speed in the open field. I saw speed, straight line speed, but I didn't see a lot of agility in the open field. And I think when it came for, you know, when it came to deception and manipulation as a runner, which I think are keys to kind of identifying skill, I mean, there were things to talk about. I mean, he used the initial track well to influence second level defenders, as I said earlier. I thought he used pressure cuts to change tracks in the backfield, and he displayed the ability to use gaze and pressure cuts to destabilize defenders in tight spaces. So when he did make guys miss, he was using a variety of different deceptive elements in his running style. He was using pressure cuts. He was using visual gaze, which I think is a signal that he's aware of impending contact, and he understood how to take a little bit of the fight out of the dog, so to speak, from the tackler by throwing him off with a little bit of a gaze or a nod inside, just enough to make that tackler stop, hesitate, and take a little bit something away from their contact. And I thought he did a good job with that. He also had a nice little spin move here and there, which I took note of. I think that was something that he used and adapted with very well. And, you know, when it came to his receiving ability, I mean, for the receptions I did see, I thought he looked smooth in and out of his breaks. There was minimal gather in terms of high speed change of direction routes. And I thought he established a good base. And like I said earlier, his biggest thing about his finishing ability was his contact fidelity. I really think he established a good brace. He lowered his center of gravity. He flexed through his hips, knees, and ankles and knew how to take on stuff. He initiated contact to meet tackling force of his opponent with his own. He put that kind of foot in the hoop, as we talk about. He really kind of delivered an impacting blow as opposed to just receiving one. And again, reshaping. He understood how to reshape within a tackle. He understood how to reshape or reposture his body in order to accelerate through a tackle and gain extra yardage, even when it seemed like there was no opportunity to do so. He was very powerful. So I like him on inside zone, interior gaps, and running plays. I think he's a two-down running back, or at least a two-down running back, and I see him probably as a top backup at the very worst, and he's probably a guy that I think is going to go around day three.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you just said there is what I have in my notes. I definitely think he's an inside runner. I think he's a guy who could be a part of a committee. Right now, it's a day three type guy, but I do think he's got some untapped potential and upside. I do think there is some athleticism there for a 225-pound guy that you don't often see from a guy that big. So, you know, I am intrigued by him. I'm curious to see how he looks this year. You know, obviously Missouri is going to be a fun team to watch this year. You know, highly regarded quarterback. They score a lot of points, wide open, you know, spread that they kind of run there. I thought he had a little bit of juice in the open field, for a guy 225. I mean, he's not going to make people miss like a guy like Miles Gaskin or Bryce Love does, but for a guy 225 pounds, I thought he showed some solid agility and elusiveness in the open field, you know, with some quick feet to make people miss, you know, in the second level. But his game is really going to be all about what you talked about, his power, his play strength, that ability to absorb contact and pick up extra yards. That, I think, combined with his athleticism at 225, is what makes him an intriguing player that I think is going to be interesting to see how he tests for a guy his size. I think that, you know, could win some people over, even though I don't think that makes or breaks. I think running backs in general, the combine really doesn't sway people's opinion too much on him, but I think he's actually going to test out better than maybe people actually think of him when he ends up doing that. The thing about the receiving, he's got to show some more. I mean, this year, you know, I didn't say he can't do it, and I've tried to change my way I look at it when I write these, you know, write ups on these guys, is because he just wasn't really asked too often. So for, you know, what I took note of, I said minimal receiving production, must show the ability to be adequate on screens and checkdowns, just to, you know, provide that extra thing that defenses at least got to be concerned about. If he could be adequate on screens and checkdowns, then that's okay, because, you know, that's what I think the bare minimum for most running backs has to do. So I don't know if he could do it or can't do it. I mean, the production shows, you know, very little this year, you know, 4 catches, 35 yards, you know, so it's something I'll be monitoring closely this year. But I'm being more careful this year, not to assume a guy can't do something just because he's not asked to do it.
No, and I don't disagree with that. And I think at the running back position, I think that's a really good kind of feeling to take, because, again, I think there's a lot of incomplete stories because of the nature of the running schemes that are used in offenses. They come in really, I don't want to say two flavors only, that's really oversimplifying it, but most running schemes are some combination of, you know, gap and zone. And I do believe that there are players who can be effective in one or both of those. And I think that's the real challenge to us, and something that I'm trying to figure out is the players that can do either or are the players that are showing a little bit more of a varied tool set. And I do think you're right, 100%. I think the bare minimum is, how do you behave in space, whether it be in screens or on check down routes? Because again, if we're going to, again, we've been preaching this for years, which is the idea that, you know, football is a space game. And if you're using 53 and a third yards wide and 100 yards deep worth of the field, the players that can attack every single dimension of the field in any one time, those are the guys that are going to be kind of coveted and harvested at a higher level. And really, honestly, how a running back is used is really goes back to scheme. And I think some teams see the running game as being the primary kind of conduit with which they move the football. And other times, I think people see the running game as just a way of highlighting the passing game. So it really does end up being what these players are asked to do as much as it is what they're capable of doing. So I think you're 100% right. And that's why, Paul, I'm going to ask you if you could kind of take us to a player that I think you and I are, again, I don't want to say we're high on, but I think he's a player that I think people are, I don't know how they're still sleeping on him. I think it's just because of his size that people don't want to talk about him. But tell us a little bit about Myles Gaskin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised we're even still talking about him, because to be honest with you, when we studied him last summer, I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to, you know, head to the NFL following, you know, the 2017 season. And now here we are, you know, less than a month away from the 2018 season, and he's still in college. So Myles Gaskin, he's obviously out of Washington. He's a senior now. He's 5'9", 191 pounds. Last year, he ran for 1,380 yards and 21 touchdowns. He had over 6 yards per carry. He chipped in with 19 receptions for 232 yards and 3 touchdowns. When you talk about, you know, what Gaskin does, how's he going to win? Well, his strengths are his athleticism, his quickness, his agility, his vision, and his cutting ability. You know, we're talking about a guy who, obviously, when we're looking at his body type, it's below average size, below average frame. You know, strength and power, you know, are obviously concerns or weaknesses right now with and that frame. But if you take that to the side, this is a guy who shows, in my opinion, very good to great athleticism with his quickness, his agility, his cutting ability. I think those are all very good to great. I think his speed and burst and acceleration are probably good. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to, you know, be like a 4.35 or a 4.4 guy. It's more his quickness, agility, his cutting ability is really, you know, very good to great. And his speed and burst and acceleration are very good, or good, I should say. And just to go back to his frame for a second, while he's only 191 pounds, he's pretty compact and muscular in that. Would I like to see him add a little bit more, maybe push that 195, 200? Sure. But he does have a compact, muscular frame. I've been saying for years he reminded me of Amir Abdullah, and I still stick to that. I think his game reminds me of Abdullah. I think his frame, his body type reminds me of Abdullah. I think there's a lot of things about him. In terms of his rushing ability, I see elite lateral quickness to be an effective runner on the outside and in the perimeter, a space player like you're talking about. That agility and that cutting ability, you know, lends itself to elusiveness in the open field to make people miss, to be a home run threat. I think he shows good contact balance and competitive toughness as he's willing to run between the tackles and put his head down to finish runs. I already said he offers that game-breaking ability with his speed and explosiveness to take one to the house from anywhere on the field, and I think he shows good patience and vision. In terms of receiving ability, I think it's solid. I don't think it's great. I think it's solid to good in terms of his hands and ability on checkdowns and screens, and obviously he showed solid receiving production with the ability to make big plays after the catch. I think he's a starting running back as part of a committee that could impact the game on all three downs. But again, just because he can play on all three downs doesn't mean that he's going to be a workhorse running back. I think this is a guy who's going to be in that, you know, 13 to 15 touch kind of window. I think that's probably his sweet spot at the NFL level. And because of that, I think he's a guy who could be a late day two pick. I think he could be a guy who could sneak his way into day two. If he's there in the beginning of day three, would it surprise me? No, but I think how this year plays out, and then we'll get a better feel for his draft projection. I think he probably should be a day two pick, though, because of his explosiveness and the dynamic that he could add to a backfield.
Yeah, and I'm going to pretty much agree with you on all points. The thing that I would say is, like, where we differ a little bit is I think in wide open space, and I mean, I think in wide open space, there are times where I wish I could see a little bit more in terms of the agility that I knew he had. And what I mean by that is, again, I think every level of the field or every area of the field, I think, is a different kind of environment and situation, and it unfolds differently for these players. And I think their ability to adapt isn't really indicative of their raw capacity physically, but rather how they kind of, you know, understand what's in front of them, how they can actually, you know, scale their own physical abilities to handle that situation, and then the task that's ahead of them and what they're trying to do. And what I mean by that is, I think he was very elusive when it came to handling tight spaces behind the line of scrimmage. He was one of the guys that popped to me in terms of his ability to handle penetrating run defenders. So, for example, when watching Washington and you saw like a three technique get into the backfield, Gaskin had the ability to elude him. And he had the ability to make him miss. And I think that's really important because that's an advantaged defender, in my opinion, a player who is completely destroying whatever timing could have existed on the practice field by getting into the backfield. And Gaskin showed great ability to adapt in those moments and elude those defenders. But yet when I saw him climb to the second level and there was more space, it was almost like the options and the affordances and the ability to act. At times I thought, I don't want to say crippling, that's not what it was, but I thought there were times where I was like, he has so many choices right here. And it doesn't look like he's really digging into his toolbox much. So I would almost say, Paul, is I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Gaskin might be the player who gets better as he goes to the next level, if that even makes sense. I'm wondering if things that I saw in the backfield and what he was capable of doing when penetrating run defenders occurred, or even in tight spaces as he was entering the line of scrimmage, when there was linebackers filling a gap and he had to make a gap cut and he had to jump to the backside or jump to a cutback lane. He was one of the first players I was watching going, huh, just like Rodney Anderson, he could kind of do that. He can kind of do that. He's good on interior run plays, but it just seems like when he get, unlike Anderson, it seems like when he got out into space, a little bit of that agility kind of got a little lost for me. And I think that home run threat that you're talking about, I think his home run threat is there because of how quickly his play speed evolves. When he's actually kind of in flow or in that rhythm, his play speed is definitely incredible. But like you said, I think in a foot race, I think he can get caught. So the question is, who is Miles Gaskin? And I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think he's a day one immediate contributor to a team. He has the receiving capability. He has the interior and outside running ability to be a contributor. But I also think that there is a little bit of meat left on the bone in terms of the depth of skill that he seemed to have in college didn't really show in every area of the field that I wanted to see. And I wonder if, like you said, Ameer Abdullah, I wonder if the right team is going to grab him and say, you know what, we have the perfect now Robin to somebody else's Batman, and our committee is complete. Like, could he be what Tariq Cohen is? I'm not saying he's the same athlete, but could he be Tariq Cohen to somebody else's Jordan Howard? Could he be that other player? Could he be the Giovanni Bernard to somebody else's Jeremy Hill? Could he be that guy? And I think he could be. I really do think he could be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think if you think about a team right now, I think his rushing ability is better than a guy like Tariq Cohen or Giovanni Bernard. But I'll say a guy who I think you'll kind of agree with, and I could see him being Deion Lewis to Derrick Henry. You know, Deion Lewis is a guy who is actually a better in-between-the-tackles runner than we give him credit for, but he's also better, you know, but he's got the speed and quickness that you think more perimeter-type runner because he's smaller in stature. And I think Gaskin kind of fits that a little bit. So, yeah, listen, I think, again, the running back's so hard to classify NFL role. You know, like a starting running back in the NFL okay, I mean, that means he's a part of probably a two-man committee, and maybe he gets the lead of that. Like, that's kind of what I meant. You know, like when I wrote up his profile, I wrote starting running back as part of a committee that could impact the game on all three downs, because I think he could play on early downs. I think he'd catch the ball a little bit. But he's a guy who, like I said, I think best would be 12 to 15 touches. You know, I think that's going to be the range. I don't think he's going to be a workhorse back under any circumstance. And we didn't mention it. I know this is an area where you usually, you know, do a really good job. Do you think he is, while we've seen him run a lot in between the tackles, do you think at the next level, outside zone would be the best scheme for him?
You know, honestly, from what I saw, I personally think he can go. I think he's better off in space and running from space. So what I mean by that is, if he's going to be dotting the eye, I don't think that formation works for him. So I don't care if we're running inside, and I don't care if we're running outside, but I do care about whether the passing game that complements the use of a guy like Gaskin needs to be a little bit more of a spread option type of team. I think we need to have a team that really believes that the pass is the fundamental conduit by which they move the football, and that they're going to bring a variety of spread schemes to really lighten the box, because I do think that he's not the guy that I want climbing the back of the guard as we're trying to push it in on, you know, third and goal to kind of win the game. He's not that guy that I want having to push the pile all the time. That's just, he can break a tackle. I think he's okay in collisions. I think he fights through it like none other. I think he's actually one of the better guys in collisions in this particular class. But I don't think that that means that he's going to be the guy that I want to put up against the 250 pound linebacker. You know, he's not that guy that I want to put in. So I would say to you is, I think his running role is probably best suited to, I would say probably an inside zone or outside zone running scheme. So I'm going to say a zone running scheme, because I really want to take advantage of those anticipatory skills and his ability to read the first level of defense and handle those penetrating inside defenders, which he's capable of doing. And then he can exploit some of those options and opportunities that unfold as the play progresses. I don't like him in a gap role. I really don't like him in a gap role.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So why don't we take this to the next player? And that's a guy who I know we're both high on. We've been high on him since.
I'm going to put it out to you. We know I love Damian Harris. I'm not going to say anything. You could go ahead and talk about him, because I think we're both right about the same place on how high we are on him.
Yeah, so obviously Alabama senior, 5'10", 216 pounds. Last year he rushed for 1,000 yards. He had 7.4 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns, and then he chipped in the receiving with 12 receptions for 91 yards. What we like about Harris, or what I like about Harris, he has that the frame and size that I think is prototypical for the next level. I like his athleticism, his play strength, his footwork, and obviously he's had consistent production now at Alabama, over the last, year or two there. In terms of his rushing ability, I see quick feet and elusiveness in the open field to make people miss. I see good play strength, contact balance, and physicality to run through tackles for extra yards, which is a big, big difference than what I saw last year from him. Because I thought last year, play strength, contact balance, I saw a guy who last year when I watched him on film in the summer of 2017, I saw a guy that didn't break a lot of tackles, that I didn't see absorb contact and run through contact nearly as much as I saw in this last past season when I watched him this summer. So I think that's an area where he definitely has improved. I think he's got good vision and patience to wait for the correct lanes to open up. I think he's a good one cut and get upfield type runner. In terms of his athleticism, I think he's got very good burst, long speed, and acceleration. To me, he's a guy who, again, has the capabilities to be a starting running back, used on early downs in the committee backfield. I think his receiving ability leaves a little bit to be desired right now. Again, we don't know how much it is based on Alabama doesn't really use their running backs in that way. I do think he shows solid hands and adequate receiving ability in limited opportunity, but the lack of production and usage is still obviously a question mark and something that we hopefully, you know, get a chance to see answered. Those would be the things that probably, you know, and just overall workload. He's always been a part of this, you know, great committee at Alabama and running behind this elite offensive line. I hate to even call those weaknesses, but I think they are a little bit of concerns. Like, we've never really seen him have to be the guy, you know, and if NFL team is thinking about taking him in round one or early round two, maybe they want him to be the guy who could handle 20, 25 carries a game. That's never really been what he's asked to do at Alabama because they're just so skilled at the position. And he's always ran behind an elite offensive line. We know, you know, Alabama is always about both, you know, sides of the ball, the offensive and defensive line. You know, he's always running behind guys, you know, that are NFL caliber offensive linemen that create gaping holes. You know, so I do think those are some things that, you know, how would he react in an NFL environment when he's behind a mediocre or below average offensive line? You know, so I think those are some of the things, but all in all, I think he's a day two player and I'm a big fan of him.
No, and I think that I really like your point there about the offensive line being at least a component in the overall kind of ingredients that you're putting into your evaluation, because I agree with you. How can you not talk about the offensive line that he's running behind when you're talking about a player's skill level? Because that is exactly part and parcel to the environment that he's kind of growing up in. You're witnessing his skill being expressed behind a line that is dominating most front sevens in the SEC. That's what you're seeing. So when you kind of put that into the kind of cauldron that is his skill set, you're mixing in a very powerful ingredient, which is confidence. There's confidence that those holes are going to open up on the interior. There's confidence, which breeds what? More kind of assertiveness as a runner, more conviction. I'm going to lock in behind the rear end of my guard, and I know that that gap, that hole is going to open up, and I'm going to ride that track, which is something that's it's funny because his strength to me was on his interior runs. And again, talking about it from a deceptive, manipulative kind of skill acquisition type of arena, you see him being most comfortable on interior runs. I saw him on outside runs, not being an absolute statue, but I saw not the same level of conviction in his movement patterns on the outside when running in space as he was on the interior of running plays. He just didn't look as sure-handed as he was, as some of the other players that we're going to see when he was in space. And again, that's not to devalue what he can do. I think he's a phenomenal interior runner. I do think he's probably going to end up being one of the top two or three best athletes at the position. And I think that his play speed on the interior of running plays is really what separates him from the rest of the players in this group. I don't think there's a better interior runner than Damian Harris in this particular class. I don't think so. I'll put his interior running ability against Rodney Anderson. I'll put his interior running ability and gap running ability against David Montgomery, and players that we have yet to even talk about. I think if you want to stay tackle to tackle in your running game and you're going to run a gap power-based running scheme, Damian Harris is your guy. And I think you're going to get him at a bargain. And he's the guy I would absolutely live or die with. I think he's one of the best runners, interior runners in this class. And he'd be one of the top two interior, top three interior runners even last year. I think that's how good he is.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I had written down there in terms of, you know, his scheme, he's best suited for an inside gap running scheme. I mean, does he have the lateral quickness to be up right in the perimeter at times? Sure. Could he probably run some inside zone? Sure. But if you're talking about maximizing his skill set and catering to what he does best, it should be an inside power gap running scheme without a doubt.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, and not saying that he can't be like running toss sweeps, because they did that in Alabama. They ran tosses. It's just not his world. That's just not where he feels most comfortable, and you can distinctly see it in his movement patterns. You can see how there's more hesitancy. His posture breaks down. His head isn't exactly pivoting and gazing and rotating and scanning the field, looking for the most immediate threat. There's just not that same level of comfort, I thought, when running outside the tackles as there was running inside the tackles.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So why don't we transition this over to another guy who hasn't been talked about much, and that's Caron Higdon from Michigan. He's a senior. He's 5'9", 190 pounds. Last year, he rushed for 994 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, and 11 touchdowns. Minimal receiving usage, 8 receptions for 131 yards. The things that I like about Higdon, I know he's got good vision, good competitive toughness, good balance, play strength, and obviously some solid production. Concerns or weaknesses I have about him: his overall size and frame at 5'9", you know, 190 pounds is a little bit of a concern. That receiving production, his pass production, and I don't think he's very elusive and doesn't show much agility in the open field. In terms of his athleticism, I thought it was above average to solid in terms of his burst and quickness and above average speed and acceleration. I think he's a solid athlete. I think, above average to solid is probably, you know, what I would feel about him in terms of the burst, the quickness, and then the speed and the acceleration. In terms of his rushing ability, I think he does a good job showing patience and vision in terms of waiting for his blocks to develop, you know, behind the offensive line at Michigan. I think he shows good competitive toughness for a guy who's only 5'9", 190. He's willing to kind of put his head down, you know, and, you know, run it in between the tackles, you know, and shows a decent, you know, amount of the ability to absorb contact and run through contact, even as the size, as a willingness to finish runs by putting his head down and fighting for those extra yards. And I think he has the effective ability to effectively one cut and get upfield as a north-south runner. The concerns I have is you don't really see that quickness in terms of the elusiveness and the agility in the open field. And for a guy who's 5'9", 190, his frame kind of, you know, would look like a guy who should be better in that regard. And that's one of my biggest concerns about him. That, and then obviously the lack of receiving production. Again, people who get the notebook will see often on some of these running backs that just, they don't have much in terms of receiving production, must show the ability to be adequate on screens and checkdowns. You're going to see that a lot. And after a whole nother season, when we go back and do updates on this, I'm going to go back and look to see if I see that. And if I see that, I'll change it to shows the ability to be adequate on screens and checkdowns. If we don't still see it, I think it's a valid concern about them transitioning to the next level into the NFL. I think Higdon is a depth running back that could even spend some time in the practice squad. I think we're talking more about a late day three type guy, potentially a UDFA. But I do think Higdon's, you know, got a decent skill set. I think it's going to be more of one that, you know, there's not going to be something about his game that really jumps out, you know, in terms of NFL evaluators as the thing that looks at him as that's his calling card.
No, and I agree with you. I see him more as a one-dimensional kind of runner right now. I see him more as being a downhill north-south runner. And to your point, I think that, you know, when you talk about his ability to make players miss, his elusiveness, his agility, it all goes into that deception and manipulation category that I'm looking at with runners this year. And I didn't see much of it. I didn't see the use of heads and shoulder fakes and pressure cuts and multiple moves, so to speak, and adaptability in terms of handling different types of, you know, kind of, you know, kind of constraints on the field, different types of pressures by defensive players. I didn't see, you know, a very adaptable player. I saw a player that really kind of had, again, every kind of, you know, I guess it was, you know, it was said before that, you know, when you're watching athletics, you know, every play is like its own unique kind of lock. And the best players have a key for every lock. Those are the Barry Sanderses of the world. Those are the Adrian Petersons. They've got a key ring with as many keys as there are problems. And they know how to pick the right key for the right problem. I don't see that when I watch Caron Higdon. I see a guy who's got a couple of really good keys. You know, he can really handle definitely tight, compact situations. And that's a testament to the fact of how strong he is as a player. Like you said, he's not a tall guy. He's not a big guy, but he plays with really good, solid to good contact fidelity. He understands how to really dominate in collisions. He's very good in that arena. The problem is that there's too many problems out there as a running back for him to solve. And I'm not sure he's got the key for every one of them. He's not very deceptive in space. He's not very deceptive behind the line of scrimmage. He's a guy who he'll get what's blocked for him, but don't expect him to be the guy who's going to create space out there in the open field.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He's a guy who, you know, again, has some traits that are intriguing.
Absolutely.
I do think he's going to be a guy that, you know, when push comes to shove, he's going to be more of a late round prospect type guy that, you know, when people see that frame 5'9", 190, they're going to, it kind of stereotypes him a little bit to agility, elusiveness, that kind of receiving back. And he doesn't really possess that. He is a space type frame, but he runs as like almost a power runner. Like we said, north-south runner, that competitive toughness, that contact balance, you know, that's his game, but he doesn't really have the body for it. And I think in the NFL, and when we're talking about transitioning to the NFL, that's going to be a little bit of a concern. So why don't we keep this going and transition this to another player, and this is an electric player, and that's Justice Hill out of Oklahoma State. He's a junior. He's 5'10", 185 pounds. He rushed for 1,467 yards last year, 15 rushing touchdowns. In the pass game, he chipped in with 31 receptions for 190 yards and one touchdown. His strengths are his athleticism. I saw great athleticism in terms of great to elite quickness and agility and very good speed, acceleration, and burst. I thought another strength is his change of direction ability. I think he shows explosive in terms of his cutting ability, his change of direction movements, and the agility to make people miss in the open field. So that elusiveness is another calling card of Justice Hill. His receiving ability, you know, he showed solid to good receiving ability in terms of his hands and effectiveness on screens and checkdowns, you know, and overall solid receiving production. Some concerns, obviously that frame, you know, at only 185 pounds, his power, his play strength, pass protection. If he's going to be a big time receiving threat at the next level, he's got to be more adequate in terms of pass protection. And then obviously workload concerns. While he can carry a heavy workload, you know, at Oklahoma State in the Big 12, he's not going to be a guy who can handle a big workload. He's going to have to be a part of a committee, part of a role player. You know, when I watch him, I think he's a guy who's a change of pace, committee or third down running back that should carve out a role quickly in an offense due to his playmaking ability. You know, he is a big time playmaker and a big play threat when he's rushing or receiving. You know, and while he ran between the tackles often in college, I think he's more of an outside zone type running, you know, that best fits him at the next level, get him in space, take advantage of that, you know, his ability to get to the outside, that lateral quickness, and then his agility, his elusiveness, his cutting ability. I think that's how he's got to be used at the next level. I don't think he'd be able to hold up, you know, in
between the tackles at the NFL level. I think he's probably an early day three pick because of his playmaking ability, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has another huge year if he pushes his way into day two.
No, and I think everything that you painted the picture for Justice Hill to be is everything I would paint him to be. I mean, he's starting. So here's where I think, again, and I know it's kind of early, but I do think that what you start to see is a lot of the players start falling into kind of shades of players we already talked about. And for him, I see him as a player somewhere in that Myles Gaskin, Rodney Anderson type of place. That's where he exists. He's like that middle ground, in my opinion. So you're like, oh, you know, wow, I really like what Myles Gaskin can do, but you know, I need a little bit more interior running ability. I need to kind of invest a little bit more in getting a guy that might be able to do that. Rodney Anderson is going to go too early. I don't think I have the draft capital to go for that. So what can we do in between? I think Justice Hill is that guy. So I think Justice Hill is that guy for a lot of teams. If Justice Hill was a 210-pound back doing exactly what he's been doing on film, he would be arguably one of the top two players in this particular class in terms of running back. I mean, he's that explosive and dynamic when it comes to being an athlete. I think he's probably one of the best athletes in this class. And I was really taken aback with his ability to kind of handle things, not only as an interior runner, but as an outside runner. I think he is a true home run threat. I think he is a guy that can run for a touchdown. I think he is that explosive runner teams are looking for, that guy who can take a screen pass to the house. I think that he is that type of player. And I think he has the deceptive toolbox to go with that. Again, his movement toolbox, how he solves the problems on the field, is more than just being a jump cut or pressure cut style player. He has a spin move. He uses his head. He uses his shoulders. He definitely leans on, again, if he has a favorite key that he likes to pull out, so to speak, for every type of problem, he always likes to try that little jump cut key. That's his favorite key to try for everything. Hmm. He likes to use, that's the key he likes to try first. If he's fiddling around trying to figure out what to do in a particular spatial problem, his first key that he kind of chooses is that jump cut. He wants to see what can happen with that. But if it doesn't work, he's got a couple more that he can try, and he's quick enough and he's attuned enough to know how to handle space that he has at least two other keys ready to go that he could rattle off if something doesn't work. And that's where I start to think, Paul, that you separate. Like, Caron Higdon, that's not his ability. That's not his world. He's got one key that he can try. Whereas with Justice Hill, he's got a couple that he can try in a given situation. Now, he may have a favoritism towards one, but he's got a couple. Now, what separates him from Rodney Anderson? Timing. Rodney Anderson has impeccable timing. He knows exactly the moment to effectively use every one of the keys on his tool belt, so to speak, at least more so than Justice Hill. But I'm not entirely sure one is going to be a ridiculously better athlete. I don't think it even comes down to that. I think it comes down to how they choose to leverage their own understanding of the game and space, and how they choose to leverage their own understanding and their own capabilities to find the right key in the right moment. And I think Justice Hill is one of those guys that's a very explosive player. I think he's good on interior runs. I think he's good on the outside. I think the thing that Paul said, and I agree with him, is I don't know if he's going to be able to guy that can hold up to being, you know, a full, you know, three down bell cow back. I can tell you right now, I don't think his pass pro is there right now. I don't see that. I see a lot of chipping. I see a lot of shoulder leaning. I don't see him really kind of widening that base and kind of stunting, you know, an interior linebacker or trying to stalemate a defensive end and run him around the arc. I don't see that from him. So you get the size, you get a little bit when it comes to pass pro. And I think you're talking about a guy who's got to be leveraged very surgically, unfortunately. But I do think that he's the type of player who, Paul, we're talking about Tariq Cohen. I think he could approximate it to Tariq Cohen. I think he could approximate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what he'll be at the next level. I think that is a perfect comparison to, you know, who he can and what he might be at the next level. So why don't we take this to the next guy? I know this is a guy that you brought to my attention a while ago. So I'm going to kind of give you the floor to talk here and tell us what you like about Travis Homer.
So Travis Homer is a player that's been on the radar, so to speak, for a lot of players since coming out of high school. He was definitely in the ESPN world and 24/7 world. He was within the realm of the top 20 running backs coming out of high school, and he ended up going to Miami. And as a junior, he's 5'10", 195 pounds. And last year, he had 966 yards, which was good for 5.9 yards per carry and 8 touchdowns. He had 18 receptions for 219 yards and 1 touchdown. I mean, his strengths to me, I think, are his athletic ability, his ability on outside runs, his contact fidelity, his ability to be a receiver, and his ability in pass pro. So those are his key strengths. His weaknesses for me, you know, I think deception and manipulation, I don't see a lot of variety, but I think what he does do, he does well, but he doesn't have a lot of variety when it comes to deception and manipulation. His ability on the second level, I think, is okay. I don't think that's his real forte. And his interior running ability and how he behaves on the interior runs is still a question mark. When I look at him in terms of what they did with him at Miami, you know, I saw a lot of use in single back gun formations. He was used in the gun formation, offset, and he was used on power and stretch plays, seemed to be the kind of places that he was used most. You know, in terms of his athletic ability, I think you're talking about a solid to good athlete. As I said earlier, he combines good balance, solid flexibility, solid to good explosiveness, solid acceleration, and solid to good change of direction speed and solid agility. I think, like I said, on outside runs, I think he has a good understanding of how openings evolve and adapt, and he can adapt quickly. And the only thing that I would take away from his outside running ability is there's not a lot of evidence at the second level of a tremendous amount of manipulation. I don't see him having, like we said, he doesn't have a very kind of huge kind of ring of keys for all those different problems. He's got some, but I didn't see a lot of diversity. And for that, I'm always a little bit concerned. At the second level, when he did get to the second level, I thought he was solid. So once he got through the first level of defenders, I didn't see a lot when it came to manipulating the first level, but when he was out in space at the second level, I thought he was solid. I thought he was able to make one player miss, but he lacked that agility, like I said, to make multiple cuts and make multiple players miss. And at times, he just resorted to just good old-fashioned power. He really looked to collide and push the ball forward for extra yardage. You know, the issues to me seemed to be that they resided in a little bit in his ability to kind of rapidly decelerate, right? There were times he gathered a little bit before making a cut. So that's where I think that we see him in terms of his rushing ability. Receiving ability, I think he was great. I really do think he's a competent route runner. I saw a lot of good things in terms of his hands. I thought he can extend outside of his frame. He extended and plucked the ball out of the air. He showed that manual dexterity that you want to see, and he was solid in pass pro. In terms of finishing, like I said, I think he was solid to good. In terms of his contact fidelity, I thought he braced well. He remained balanced. And he reshaped and really fought to accelerate. And he was very difficult to bring down on first contact, which I think is very interesting when you look at his size. I mean, he's only 195 pounds, but he really ran every inch of that, kind of every pound of that 195 to the limit. I see him as a committee back or a top backup, and I see him a little bit more as a day three player. But he's a player that, again, last year was his first year in a real kind of starting role, so to speak. So I'm interested to see if he can take the next step, because he's a player that could have a little bit of a rise, in my opinion, in terms of where he ends up by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who I was pleasantly surprised when I watched him. I think he has the capability a little bit. I think he might even elevate himself a little bit more now that it's his backfield, now that Mark Walton's out of there. I think he has the capabilities to potentially become like a day two pick, a late day two guy. And I think he could be a starting running back on the plus side of a committee backfield with the potential to play on all three downs. I saw a little bit of Ronald Jones in his game. I did, in terms of the frame and stuff like that. I didn't see, you know, I knew some people had some concerns about, you know, his speed and breakaway speed. I saw big playability when he got to the second level. You know, I didn't see speed as an issue. I thought, you know, his athleticism, I would say, was good to very good. And, you know, individually, I had said, you know, great burst and acceleration, very good speed and quickness, and solid to good agility. I don't think he has elite cutting ability or anything like that, like a Miles Gaskin, you know, or even a, you know, who we just talked about, Justice Hill. But I do think he has quick feet, cutting ability and change of direction skills to be elusive in the open field, to make some people miss. I think he shows good vision and patience. And like you said, even at his size, you know, he shows the contact balance, physicality, and competitive toughness to finish runs aggressively, you know, to pick up some extra yards. I love his versatility in the pass game. They line him up even in the slot a decent amount. So he's a guy that they can really utilize in a variety of different ways. I think he fits best in an outside zone running scheme, but I also think he could effectively run, you know, any gap scheme as well. I don't even know, even at his size at 195. So he's a guy who I was pleasantly surprised with, and I'm a pretty big fan of. I haven't finalized my rankings just yet, but he's a guy who, you know, is probably going to be somewhere in my top five or top six as running backs that I like, you know, in terms of this upcoming draft class. So he's going to be a fun guy to watch this year, because I do think he's going to get a much heavier workload as the bell cow there. I'm sure there's another guy who's going to be heavily involved as well, replacing Mark Walton. But I do think Homer's going to be one of the focal points of that ground game. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, and you know what, Paul, just one last word as we kind of transition to the next player. I think what you're alluding to is the same thing why I keep finding it difficult to drop Travis Homer that far in the rankings, because if I'm going to live true to the idea of skill, he's got a lot of skill. He's got a lot of skill. It may not be that he is the tops in every single area in which he's expressing that skill. He may not be the best interior runner in this class. He may not be the best in the open field. He may not be the strongest or have the best contact fidelity. He may not be the best receiver or the best route runner. But he does it all at a pretty decent clip. And for that reason, his skill is very, very wide and varied. And for that reason, I keep finding it hard to put guys over them, over him, unless they're elite in, let's say, a dimension or a dimension better than him, or they're just as varied but better than him in one particular area. He's got a very diverse skill set. So, Paul, as we transition now maybe to the next player that really I think is a player that I was pleasantly surprised at, because I hadn't really learned that much about him until watching him. And that somebody is, it's a nice little product out of Maryland, and that's the senior 5'9", 208 pounds, Ty Johnson. Last year, he had 875 yards, good for 6.4 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, 5 receptions for 60 yards and a touchdown. Ty Johnson is a player that, I mean, I was very, he jumped off the page to me, because I can't believe that I had missed him all year. I would have wished I could have gone back and watched even more of him. But that's not to say that he's not without his warts, but he was very, very much a pleasant surprise. Paul, what can you tell us about Ty Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, he's make sure you're watching, because anytime he touches the ball, it's must watch TV. It's get your popcorn ready. Athleticism, speed, burst, acceleration, agility, returnability, he has it all. You know, concerns are his receiving production, pass pro, you know, and his overall strength, power to, you know, break tackles consistently. But he's a guy who average size, but a good compact frame, you know, 5'9", 208. So he's got a good frame to him. I think his athletic ability is very good to great. I think he's an explosive athlete with elite speed, great bursts, acceleration, quickness, and agility. I think he shows quick feet, shiftiness, change of direction skills, and agility behind the line of scrimmage and in the open field. I think he's got the lateral quickness to be an effective outside runner. If he gets to the second level, I don't think he's caught too often. Shows good vision and patience waiting for the lanes to open before he hits the hole aggressively. I talked about receiving. He's got for a guy who offers his upside and playmaking ability in terms of his athleticism, he's got to show, you know, the minimum again, going back to show the ability to be serviceable on screens and checkdowns. Because if he can, with his athleticism and his game-breaking ability when he's in the open field, I think he could be a guy that could really elevate his stock a little bit. I think he wins with his overall athleticism and, in particular, his speed, burst, agility, and footwork. And he's a home run for it every time he touches the ball. I think he's best in outside zone or gap running scheme. I think he's a change of pace running back that could work his way into a part of a committee and could get some immediate touches due to his game-breaking ability. I also think he can immediately become a starting kick returner at the next level. I think he's a day-three prospect, but offers a lot of excitement and explosive to add to a backfield, you know, as that true change of pace type guy. He's probably only going to be used on early downs because he's not much of a receiver out of the backfield, but he's just so explosive and such a home run threat that an NFL offense is going to find or should find ways to maximize his skill set.
Yeah, I think he's not somebody that you're going to keep on your radar from a fantasy perspective, but I think that he's somebody that teams are going to look at and say, you know what, he's got a lot of interesting traits that we could leverage in a lot of different ways. And we all know if you can contribute on special teams, that's a really big calling card for you in terms of draft status that you can add to your repertoire for the next level. So, Paul, as we kind of move to the next player, this is a player that I think, you know, a lot of this, again, I'm seeing these through two different lenses. And before there was the world before I did the summer seminar series on skill acquisition, before I went down that rabbit hole, and then there was the world before that. And I think that this is a player who, in my opinion, has grown on me more than he had previously. And that's not to say he shouldn't have been high to begin with, but that's Bryce Love. Out of Stanford. He's a senior. He's 5'9". He's 196 pounds. And last year he had 2,118 yards, good for 8.1 yards per carry and 19 touchdowns. He had 6 receptions for 33 yards and no touchdowns. So again, just overall in terms of strengths and weaknesses, you know, this is a player who I think if you love Myles Gaskin, you should be ecstatic about who Bryce Love is. Because I think Bryce Love is the next level of Myles Gaskin in terms of what he can do on a football field, save what you were saying earlier, sans, so to speak, the receiving capability, which I would love to see more of. And he's a player that if he can do that, I think he's going to even go higher. He's a guy whose pro career could be the best years that are in front of him. Who knows? But when I look at, you know, Bryce Love, I mean, Paul, we'll tag team this a little bit, but in terms of what I see from him, in terms of his rushing capability, I mean, I see a guy who understands how to press the point of attack on interior runs. He's very good at varying his stride length, and he has a good idea of how to manipulate first and second level defenders in order to create and sustain running lanes for himself. He's the guy who creates space. A lot of these players, not all of them can create space when it comes to tight inside runs. He has the capacity and the capability to do that. When he sees that problem, that lock being an interior run, he has a key for getting as much space out of that particular problem as possible. And when it comes to being at the second level, I thought he had good gaze behavior. I thought he scanned the field well, constantly scanning to the next most dangerous man. And he really did a nice job leveraging head fakes and pressure cuts. And this goes back to what I said about his deception and manipulation. He's the type of player who varies tempos behind the line of scrimmage. He doesn't just hit the hole full speed and hope to mow down whatever errant arm tackle there is in the gap. He's a guy who tempos his runs. He steadies it, sets up his blocks. He looks to use head fakes and different types of landmarks in order to kind of strain defenses. And he's the guy who's using little shuffle steps. He's, you know what, Paul? One thing that I'm starting to find, and I don't know if you saw this as well, and I put it to everybody else out there. So I'm going to go completely out there on a limb and say, I'm finding that the best, most skilled running backs are those running backs who get back to being square more often than not. And by square, I mean they actually almost come to balance, which people say is them gathering. They look indecisive. I don't know if that's necessarily true. The best backs come to balance and come to being square shoulders, because it gives them a two-way go. And they almost kind of bait the defender, almost like a game of chicken, like two cars on a roadway coming full speed at one another. It's like coming in a game of chicken. They come to balance. They come with equal square shoulders. And then it's a matter of shuffling. I'm going to stay loose, stay agile, stay mobile. And I'm going to let you, Mr. Defender, make a choice about what you're going to do. And I'm going to make you wrong no matter what you do. I see that a lot from Bryce Love. He comes to being square, comes to being balanced, and he can explode in any direction at any given moment. So that's something I'm seeing from great running backs. And I wonder if you guys out there are seeing the same thing. Is the player getting square and balanced, almost like when they're about to kind of, like I said, like a game of chicken with the opposing defender? that gives him the most mobility and the most agility in the moment. And I'm wondering if you guys see that as well. So I'm seeing that as a big kind of indicator for skilled runners. And I think he uses head fakes at all levels of the field to destabilize pursuit, whether it's the first level, second level, or beyond. He's a player that sees the field and he sees everything unfolding as he goes. Paul, what else do you see from this product that is Stanford?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, at Stanford, they run so much power between the tackles. But that, while he can do it and he has the competitive toughness to do it, he's also been a guy that's dealt with some durability concerns. And I think, you know, when you talk about his game overall, you know, when you talk about the size and frame concerns, and I feel like I have some workload concerns in terms of can he handle the rigors of the NFL level and durability concerns. I do think he, again, is a starting running back or the plus out of a committee backfield that needs to add to his frame and show receiving production to be a true three down player. He's a guy that I think, again, needs to be in that 13 to 15 type of touches. I don't think he can withstand the rigors of 20, 25 touches at the NFL level. I think he will break that way. I don't think you will maximize the skill set and the playmaking ability of Bryce Love if you're giving him that much workload at the NFL level. Because everything you said, you know, runs with great balance and leverage, playmaker in space, can take it to the house on any play, you know, good vision and patience, allowing his blocks to set up, great lateral quickness, cutting ability, elusiveness in the open field to make defenders miss. Obviously, his production is borderline video game-like. You know, so he has a lot going for him. He might, you know, be in the Heisman contention this year. You know, but the durability, the size concerns, and the lack of pass receiving is going to ding him a little bit at the next level. He really, again, it might not be during the year. It might have to be at like the Senior Bowl. He needs to show the ability to be an adequate receiver, because for his body type, for his style of play, for what an NFL team is going to want to use him, knowing full well that they probably can't make him a bell cow between the tackles, you know, runner, they're going to want him to be able to show that he can be a weapon on third downs as well. And I think that's going to be something that if Stanford doesn't ask him to do it, he's going to have to show that, you know, in the pre-draft process at the All-Star Circuit and the Combine to really elevate his game. Listen, he's in my top five already because I do love what he brings to the table. But I want to see a few things in his game evolve this year. And in particular, I'm hoping to see him get a little bit more opportunity in terms of his receiving.
Well, I would agree with you. And that's why I think that's his biggest weakness is he's going to want to be leveraged, or they're going to want to leverage him as being a player that could be used on third down. And I think if you can't add that to your repertoire, I think he's going to be really limited. And it's a sin, though. You know why it's a sin to everybody out there? Because I really, really, really love him as a runner with the football in his hands. I really love him as a player with the football in his hands, in space, behind an offensive line, you name it. I think he's one of the most skilled runners in this class. And I really, like Paul said, if you can't bring that dimension of being a receiver on at least an adequate level, it's going to be really hard for him to kind of realize that full potential at the next level.
Yeah, I mean, and just, I know we don't really talk too much this far out in advance in terms of fantasy, but if you think about fantasy for a second with Bryce Love, he's one of those intriguing guys because of his size and frame, he might not be the short yardage goal line runner at the NFL level for a team who might have a bigger, more physical back that they want to use in that area. And if he's not catching passes, he might not be on the field in the third down scenario. So all of a sudden, he's a guy who you could legitimately see there being some, you know, fantasy football type questions because, you know, he's not impacting the game in the receiving aspect and he might not be in the goal line as well. So like, you know, it just shows you to how different sometimes the world is of real life and fantasy. And Bryce Love could be one of those guys that at the NFL level, who knows, we'll revisit that way further down the line. But right now we're just going to enjoy him as how awesome of a player he is in college and look to see if he rounds out his game a little bit more. So let's
Let's do one more player here in part one, and then we'll cover the last 10 and the watch draft eligible watch list, underclassmen watch list, and our rankings in part two of our running back preview. So the last guy for tonight is going to be Alexander Mattison out of Boise State. He's a junior. He's 5'11", 214 pounds. He rushed for 1,086 yards last year, 5.1 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns. He chipped in as a good functional receiver with 28 receptions for 284 yards and one touchdown. The things that I like about his game, I think he's got ideal size and frame. I think he's got good burst and acceleration, good footwork, good competitive toughness, play strength, and his receiving ability. Some concerns I have about him: I don't think he's a guy who has good long speed. I think it's average at best. He's not a guy who's very elusive in the open field in terms of agility and his lateral quickness. And he's had some injury/durability concerns. Overall, though, I think he is a guy who wins with a combination of his bursts, his acceleration, his play strength, and his ability to finish runs and his receiving ability. I thought he was a guy who runs with good balance and can absorb contact well and pick up yards after contact. I think he's best suited in an inside gap running scheme because I do believe he's more of a north-south type runner. To me, he's a depth running back that could develop into a lesser part of a committee due to his ability to play on all three downs and impact the game, rushing, receiving, and in pass protection. I think he's a day three prospect who I think is a guy who's flying very much under the radar, and it'll be interesting to see how he evolves this year in terms of the national eye. Boise State gets a lot of national recognition, so it's going to be, you know, and Mattison had a very good year last year, but you just didn't hear much about him. So now, as a junior draft eligible prospect, it's going to be intriguing to see, you know, what more of the national, you know, consensus is on him. And if he even declares after this year, he might be a guy that stays all 4 years. But there are some things about Mattison that I do like.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I think his receiving ability is something that will intrigue NFL teams, not because he's a dynamic receiver, but because he's very functional in that role. And I think in terms of running curls and out routes and things of that nature, I thought he was very good in handling those responsibilities. And when it comes to, you know, kind of winning in space and things of that nature, yeah, Paul, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he really does rely on his power, and that's why I have him very much in the same range. I have him as a day three player. I have him as a depth player, and I think he really could fill out a roster nicely for an NFL team and give them somebody that can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's exactly who he is. And again, guys change, guys evolve. That'll be something we look for this year when we watch him play. Does he show more, you know, elusiveness and agility in the open field to make people miss? You know, like I mentioned it earlier with Damian Harris. Last year, I had a lot of concerns and questions about play strength, his ability to absorb contact, run through contact, you know, his strength and power. And then last year, every time I watched Alabama, I just said, yep, he looks like a different player. And we sort of, to be frankly honest with you, a guy who changed the most from last summer to the end of last college football season, Sony Michel. I didn't see it prior to last year, a guy who ran with that kind of power, showed that type of play strength, the ability to absorb contact. You know, last year, Sony Michel was a guy who really changed my mind a lot. And Damian Harris, in terms of, you know, a concern last year, all of a sudden now this year is something that, you know, basically be put in the strength column, you know, as being, you know, pretty good at it something. So guys change a lot from year to year. So we always kind of got to cycle back to these guys. This is just an early look here before the season kicks off. So, Matt, any final parting thoughts here on the first 10 running backs we talked about?
No, I think this is really good, and I think I'm really excited to get into what I think is, again, a really solid class, but I think the next 10 are going to have some really interesting ones to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some really big names in that second group, some under-the-radar guys. It'll be fun. We'll go through those 10 the same way we did these 10 tonight. We'll give some more names to follow, draft eligible. We'll mention some names as underclassmen because the underclassmen watch list at the running back position is star-studded, to say the least, with the sophomores, some freshmen you should be keeping an eye on, and then Matt and I will unveil our top 10 as well in part two. So again, if you like what you hear, please get over to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, or Google, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to the podcast, please. All of that greatly helps us out, continue to grow and expand just about 2 weeks away, we will be launching the new 2019 notebooks that'll include the 2019 scouting notebook, the rankings notebook, the 2019 freshman notebook, and obviously the 2019 draft projections notebook. So that will be available for purchase on the website in about 2 weeks or so. We're really looking forward to that and hoping more people give it a chance this year and then take a look at the four products that you know, we're putting out there for you. So on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.